We are Warren Youth Ministry. Join us as we delve into God's Word, igniting fire in the hearts of men. We thank you for such an awesome moment in your presence. We thank you that what you are present here with us. Explicitly stated in your word that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you are present there in their midst. Currently, we are at least, we miss the minimum requirement, which is for two or three. And we know, or we trust you are present here. Oh Lord, open our hearts and our minds, grant us understanding into what's the scripture that we are about to read. Not only that, share your word, share the light of your word abroad in our hearts. Help us understand these truths. We don't want to come in here mere letters being read out unto us, but we want to contact the life and spirit in these words so that we can put them to good use in our respective lives. Father Lord, we thank you again. Grant the speaker utterance. Help him communicate to us the truths as he ought to. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. So we are going to speak of four snares that the enemy normally uses to trap us. Four snares. So the theme for our fasting and prayer, right, has been we are escaping from what's the snare of what's the enemy. We are escaping from what the snare of the enemy, and we took our text right from the book of Psalm chapter number 124 verses number 7. It says that what our souls have escaped as a bird out of the snare of what's the fowler. Our souls have what escaped as a bird out of the snare of what's the fowler. And in this text that we're going to read from Proverbs chapter number 6, we'll identify four snares that are enemy normally uses to trap what us, four snares, and we'll do our best to avoid those snares. So help us, so God help us, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sure. So from Proverbs chapter number 6, the verses number 1 to 4. So the text is placed in the chat box. So verses number 1 to 4, the first snare. Okay, let's read, then afterwards we'll be able to identify. So right, he says, my son, if you have become security for your neighbor, if you have given your pledge for a stranger or another, you are snared with what the words of your lips, you are caught by the speech of what your mouth. Do this now at once, earnestly, my son. Deliver yourself when you have put yourself into the power of your neighbor. Go, be stare, and humble yourself, and beg your neighbor to pay his debt, thereby releasing you. Then, verse number 4: give not unnecessary sleep to your eyes, nor slumber towards your eyelids. So, in the first three verses, right, we can see clearly that someone had become surety for his neighbor, and the wise king, right? Or the wise king is giving advice unto us, and he says that what we should go and beg. He's going to beg whoever it is, right? He should go and beg, so that what his name is what exempted from what that surety. Or in essence, we can say that we are not supposed to bound ourselves by what debt. Debt. That's like one of the number one trap that the enemy uses towards curtail what our development, right? So as individuals, sometimes we run to tough times, right, or hard times, and we might have to borrow or learn from another, right? And when such a situation happens, we end up getting into what debt. Some people decide to borrow for because they want to catch up with what their friends, as in maybe they have observed a friend having an item that they want that they presently can't afford, and they are not content with what they have, and because they want to be counted as among, right, they end up going to borrow so that they can subsist the lifestyle that they want to live, right? So you see the person has, let's say, the your gadget or flashy look, right? But the person is literally drowning in what depth, serious depth, right? And it's as though you have tied a stone around your neck, right? And you have thrown yourself into the water. You keep on sinking until you get let loose of what that stone or that weight. So it's like a serious weight. And it impedes our development so greatly. And there are times also when people take on debt for maybe sustenance, right? So times are hard, and because times are hard, you end up taking debt to support what you can eat, right? Sometimes it's granted and understandable. There are times where things are tough, right? So you might have to maybe take money from a friend or something. You have to endeavor that whenever you are supposed to subscribe to debt, your plan is to pay it off as fast as possible, right? For in the scripture, right, it says that the borrower is forever a slave towards the lender. As long as you keep on borrowing, right, you are subjecting yourself under what some form of servitude or slavery. Because you can't speak rashly or bad against what you're the person who you are owing, right? You can't even stand up for yourself because what you are in serious or steps. So like that's one of the traps or the snares that the enemy has been using in what our lives, right? We have to learn to be content with what we have at the given time, right? Content with what we have at a given time while striving forward for better. And we should learn to drown outside voices to the point where we are not overly drawn towards quote unquote the material things to the extent that we'll have to trap ourselves in what serious debt. Yes, it's nice that you're in school. Everyone has changed their cell phones to maybe the latest iPhone, maybe the I don't know what's the latest one, whether it's a 14 or 15, right? So let's say everyone, you're in a friend group and all of them have changed their phones to a 14 or 15. Currently, your resources support an X or an XR. Then be like, nah, I have to be part because I have to be part. You go and take what's loan and like top up on your phone and go and buy. Like you're literally sacrificing your freedom, right? You come under undue stress. Why? Because of what a decision you took. Undue stress because you wanted to feel what among or part of it, right? Or part of like a clique or something. It's literally not worth it, right? So it says godliness with contentment is what's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We are not saying that you shouldn't be ambitious or strive to increase what you earn in power or strive to hit the top, right? But you have to learn to be content with what you have at the given time whilst working or striving forward for better. And when being content to what you have means that what you are not going to allow outside influences or outside voice to cause you to entrap yourself into a debt, right? Because of some lifestyle inflation or lifestyle that you are trying to watch, chase or catch after. Yeah, sometimes you say, "Well, fake it till you make it." So because you say, "Fake it till you make it," then you don't have the resources to maybe purchase what's the outfit, the whatever it is. Then just go and take it upon yourself. How are you going to pay for it? Then you end up coming under on very undue or unnecessary and undue stress. And at night, you are dodging people. You'll be dodging people's phone calls. Why? Because you think someone who is calling is coming for his money. You put yourself under very unnecessary stress. Yeah. So there are times where you might take debt, but keep it in mind that you have to make sure that you have a plan in place to pay off that debt ASAP. ASAP. You have a plan and you have the means towards pay off the debts. Don't go and take on debt. You don't have the means to pay off the debts, right? And also being surety for what's for your neighbor. So there are times where it'll be like, somebody is in need of help. Maybe you don't have the means. Then the person says, "Oh, talk to this person for me." and be like, you put your integrity on the line. Oh, I know this boy, he'll pee. You have to show that you know the person before you make such a surety. And you have to check the person's track record. Has the person been evading or avoiding debts before? Avoided debts before? Debt repayments. Sometimes you have to think yourself like a financial institution or bank. Financial institutions or banks do not grant loans just like that. They check for what? Credit worthiness. They ask you to go and bring some slip. Maybe your income statements. They ask you to bring a guarantee. Why? Because they want to be sure that what you can repay off was the loan. So there are times where you have to put yourself in that shoes, right? And assess situations that come your way. Right, that's right. Yeah, so like that's one thing that we'll be praying against, right? So we have some prayer points to pray. So we are going to pray. We'll pray and ask the Lord to deliver us from what all forms of debt and grant us towards them the power to what clear ourselves from what every unnecessary debt that we are currently in. Then the diligence towards to be content with what we have while striving forwards for better or for more. Right, sure. Then the next trap that the enemy uses to watch and trap a lot of us is laziness. 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 So that's taking it from the same book. We're still reading Proverbs chapter 6. So laziness. So we are reading from verses number. So we are reading chapter 6, right? So we are reading from verse number 4 to verse number 11. So he says what? Give not unnecessary sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself as a roe or gazelle from the hand of a hunter, and as a bird from the hand of a fowler. And it is, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provides food in the summer and gathers her supplies in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise from what you sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down and sleep. So will poverty come like a robber, or one who travels with a slowly but surely approaches steps, and your wants like an armed robber, making you what, helpless. So he's speaking to us, right? He says that we shouldn't give our eyes to unnecessary sleep. Some of us, Charlie. You can sleep for close to like 12, 14 hours. You sleep 8 hours in the evening. During the daytime, you are watching your Netflix. You watch for like 2-3 hours, and you sleep again. Oh, come on! Please get up. Please get up from your bed. Please get up from your bed. We can't keep on doing this thing. For this past 21 days, we have been praying seriously, right? We have been praying against the traps of the evil one. Like, you have sowed seeds of what's prayer. So, like, you have sowed seeds of prayer and consistent word study. We have to go and put it to work. We can't keep on folding our hands and sitting there waiting for some magic rain to fall from somewhere. Even the children of Israel, right, as they were they're traveling toward the promised land, right, in the journey, right, for the 40 days as they were 40 sorry 40 days or 40 years 40 years as they were encompassing the mountain, the Lord was providing them with what? Manna to feed, right? Every day was giving them manna, because as at that time they were in their miracle season, right? After they entered the promised land, the manna ceased, and they had to what? Sow the land, sell it, reap the harvest, then use it to feed themselves. Like, there's a component where we have to put in the effort. Oh, I know my God will do it. I know my God will do it. I know my God will do it. Then you are sleeping in the house. Like, bro, it doesn't work that way. You want to go to school, right? You want to go to for your PhD or master's. You have prayed. You have gone to sow seed. And you're sitting there. You're not diligently researching the schools and the right courses for you, whether they have the right funding package for the course you are choosing. You are not diligently researching all these things. You are not even applying. How will God do it and get you there? Oh yes, God is all powerful. Oh God is Yes, it's true. Like, God is all powerful, right? What does it mean? You're not applying, just dead, and you're not applying to the thing, and you're dead, and they have sent you the admission. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I know we like those, like, time of testimony. Oh, I'll get a job I didn't apply for. Yes, but why do you want why do you want it that way? Why don't you want to apply and the Lord working with you will confirm his very word with accompany signs and wonders? Why don't you want the one where you apply, you get fever in the sight of whoever you're interviewing with, and he gives you the job? And why don't you want that way? Why do you want a sharp miracle? It's like God is some genie or magician, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that shouldn't be the case. So this is one of the other traps that the enemy uses to one of the enemy snares in our lives: laziness. So you see, there are times where we are supposed to wait on the Lord, right? We are waiting for the Lord for maybe the next step, what to do, right? And sometimes we get so engrossed in waiting on the Lord that we do not want to do anything. Yeah, I understand you are trusting the Lord for permanent employment. That doesn't mean right now that you don't have a job, you should just sit at home. It's either you are packaging yourself with your applications, going around to possible locations to drop the applications, or you are offering your services for free as on, like, maybe an intern somewhere. You can't just be sitting at home. Like, it sounds a bit harsh, right? To say, why should I go offer my services for free? But you have to learn to understand that whenever you dispense value, right, you are always what, recompensed or rewarded. You are going to offer your services for free as an intern. They might not pay you in fiscal cash, but what they are paying you in is an opportunity to learn for free. And that knowledge you are learning, they can't take it away from your head. Like, it can't be taken away from your head. It's yours. Right. So it's very important, right? Where we have to be extremely diligent in whatever we are doing. We can't keep on. It's good. We have to pray. We'll pray every morning. We wake up. I call you guys. So we come in journey to pray. We'll pray. We'll study God's word. But we have to learn to put it to practice. We have to. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 10, right? It's in the chat box. It says that whatever you find your hands to do, do it with all your mind.
Yeah.
For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, the place of what, the dead, where you're going. He's advising us. He says we should do it with all our might. This is not only for your secular life, so even in the things relating to God, you're maybe in war room, you're serving, right? Do it with all your might. In your local church, they need someone to assist in Sunday school or children's class. Go take it up and do it with all your might. You can't just be folding your arms, right? Your local church needs someone to assist with cleaning of the chairs and the rest. Go and do it with all your might. Right, go serve. Go and do it. Someone in your maybe your next door neighbor has a kid who is maybe in GSS or something. He doesn't have a tutor. Go offer yourself freely to the woman next door. Tell her, I can see your son is this, right? I can help him with maybe mathematics and science. I'll teach him for free. You can offer your services for free. But when people are when people are grateful for the influence you're having over the lives of people, right? They tend to even reward you with what you have not even asked for. Like, you go for free, then now the person is now giving you money that you have not even asked for. When it comes, collect the money. That's just on the lighter note. But yeah, we have to learn not always to sit back. We have to, like, go out and go and put in the effort. Like in this year, right? We are generally have a target that we want to increase the numbers in what war room. It's going to be work, and it involves you and I reaching out to people, right? So we can't fold our arms and expect people to come just through magic, right? The people will come when you and I share the word, and they see, not just see, right? You share the word, you invite someone, and you consistently check up on the person. Then you get a person to stay, right? In your respective room, wherever you have your meeting, you invite the person to come, right? so that what he can come listen to God's word, apply it to his life, and see their transformation in what's his life. As it keeps on happening, as it keeps on happening, and the numbers keep on increasing. What me, I talked to two, you also talked to two, we talked to two. By the time we realize, we have increased the number, right? So that's the thing. So we have to put our hands towards work. That's the third trap that the enemy normally uses to get us. That's laziness. Now we're going to look at the fourth one. So the fourth one is it's from verse number 12 to verse number 19. So I'm placing it in the chat box. Verse number 12 to 19. Okay, so kindly check in the chat box. Okay, let me just edit this type box. Okay, sure. So kindly check in the chat box. So he says that the third one is what? Gossiping or slandering, right? Or foul speech. So he says that a wicked man is he who goes about with a perverse mouth or contrary or wayward tongue. Mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks by shuffling or tapping with his feet. He makes signs to mislead and deceive and teaches with what his fingers. Willfully and contrary in his heart. He devises trouble, vexation, and evil continually. He lets loose discord and sows it. Therefore, upon him shall the crushing weight of calamities come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broke, and that without remedy. These six things the Lord hates, indeed seven, an abomination to him, a proud look. That is a spirit that makes all man overestimate himself and underestimate others. A lying tongue. And hands that shed was innocent blood, a heart that manufactures was wicked thoughts and plans, and feet that are swift to run into evil, a false witness who breathes out lies even under oath, and he who sows discord out among God's brethren. This sometimes we tend to tell lies. I wanted to say very unnecessary lie, but there's no lie that is worth necessary. Yeah, like. Do you know that you're lying?
I know they hear. It is not important. It's not, you know they hear.
Yeah. You know you're lying, but you just keep on just giving and dishing it out. My brother, you're lying. So, perverse tongue, right? Like, I'm gaming a person. I'm searching for bats for the person. Like, bro.
Settings,
right? You know you're lying. What's all this? So slandering and perverse speech is like a snare that the enemy uses to trap us. For we are, and Jesus Christ says, we'll give accounts for every idle word that is what's spoken. So you have to be conscious of like the words that you are speaking. Even in jest, you have to make sure that what the words you are saying are true. Don't tend to overly exaggerate some experiences. Yes, maybe the Lord gave you a testimony. And the testimony was that through a friend, you got maybe favorable appointments, you got something, right? Then because you have come to share the testimony to us, instead of it to share the testimony as it is, come and tell us that, oh, I was there, I didn't even apply. It just came. Like,
it just happened.
Like God is not like God doesn't need you to juicy up whatever testimony it is to make him big. Like he's literally big all by himself. He doesn't need your whatever fake or attached embellishment to any embellishment, right, to make himself grow great. So see it as it is. Yeah, you had you're ill, right? And as you were ill, we prayed, and after praying, we also went to the hospital. You took in the drugs, you got healed. Then, when you're sharing the testimony, you don't want to add a part where you took in the drugs. Like the same God who produced all the trees and things, which in essence have been used to make the drugs, you have taken it in. and now you don't want to say that as part of the testimony. Like, who are you deceiving? Like, it's not important, right? So, like, it's not needful. So we have to learn to take away lies and slandering away from what our mouth. And some people also like to bear false witness, right? You were not there when that thing happened. Oh, I was there, this boy. Ah, he did it. He did it. This boy. Oh, you don't know him. Right? Or sometimes based on past hurts that people have hurt you, because of that you have been harboring and waiting for a time as such. So when the person gets into some slight trouble, then you just jump into the scene. Even things he hasn't said, you add on to the other things, right? So we have to make sure that a lion tongue is far away from us. And we also should not overestimate ourselves more than we ought to, right? There are times where we tend to see ourselves, or we tend to see ourselves higher and some others lower, right? We should learn to distance from it. Jesus Christ says that was in this kingdom, right? Or in the world's kingdom, the boss is supposed to see himself higher than what those who are subject to what him. But in Jesus' kingdom, he says that what whoever wants to be the greatest, right, should be what a servant. So it's like it's almost like an antithesis, right? Like an upside down kingdom. It's opposite to what we are used to. Because you know that your boss is at the top and you are somewhere at the bottom. But God is saying that in his kingdom, it's the other way around. The person who's supposed to be the greatest is supposed to be the ultimate servant. Right? So don't overestimate what yourself above others. Yeah. Maybe you might have the means, a bit what to do. Because you're able to do, you don't give a rat ass about someone who is not well to do. No, it doesn't work that way. Because you are what to do, whoever is, let's say, not what to do, you rubbish whatever opinion they have or what. No, that's not supposed to be the case, right? So, yeah, that's the third snare that the enemy uses to entrap us. The first one was what? Debt. The second one was. First, you spoke on depth, then the second one was laziness. Then now we spoke on what, a purpose or lying tongue. Then the final one, right? That's from the same chapter. So that's verses number 20 to say 35. So I'm pasting that in the chat box as well. I think let me use NLT so that it's a bit easier to read. So 20 to 35. So I think I'll paste this in two tranches. So we can read. So 28. Then let's read from 29 to 35. Right. So the last one is the last snare that the enemy uses to entrap us on the regular is what last. It's last. Right, sure. So we are reading from verse number 20. It says what? My son, obey your father's commands and do not neglect what your mother's instructions. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck when you walk. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. And when you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is the way of life. And it says that what these instructions, the reason he was giving instructions is that what it will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of what the promiscuous woman. Do not lust after her beauty. Do not let her coy glances seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you towards poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you what your very will cost you what your life. Can a man scoop up a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? So it is with a man who sleeps with another's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished. Excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he's starving. But if he is caught, he must pay back seven times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house. But a man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys what himself. He will be wounded and disgraced. His shame will not never be erased. Or the woman's jealous husband will be furious. And he will show no mercy. When he takes what's revenge, he will accept no conversation, nor be satisfied with a payoff or what any size. So the wise king is speaking unto us, right? And he's saying that's what he's giving us instruction. He says we should tie it about, like, around our neck, like we should bind it around our neck, like as in have it dear to us, work with it consistently. He says we should deal with what lasts. We should make sure that's what we do not allow our lust to take us to where we can't go, right? Ordinarily, you not pick a car from. Let me use Tema to Kasua is a bit far. Ordinarily, you know, leave Tema to Kasua, but because of last, you have left your house. You have sat in
Kumasi self. They go.
Aha, Kumasi North is nobody can go all the way to North just because of what's last, right? So, yeah, you have to learn how to deal with it, right? So he says that what we should not, it's one of the snares that the enemies use trap us, right? And you end up going where you don't want to go. So, and he made a profound statement. He says, can you take out like charcoal, hot coals and put it in like in your cloak and be not bent? Have you ever put your hand in fire and you have never been bent before? Or can you decide I'm walking on fire and my feet will not be bent? So that's it with what, that's how it is with lust. As long as you keep on harboring it, it will birth what? Sin, and you end up committing something, either fornicating, adultery, or all forms of what, sexual immorality, right? And it's not what's prim and proper, right? So that's one of the things. Let's read from First Corinthians chapter 6 and read 18-20. Then we pray. So it says, Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, and what deed. Any other sin which a man commits is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a very temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Ghost, who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with the preciousness and paid for and made his own. So then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body. You are also flee all forms of immorality, all forms of it. It's not, this one that I didn't go far. I just kissed there. I just pressed the buttons. I just whatever. It's all form. No, maybe I didn't sleep with it, so it's okay. Because I'm a guy, most of them, like, my examples are a bit skewed towards the male perspective, but it's the same for the female, right? It's not like, oh, this one that I didn't do anything. Oh, like, but you know, like we should stop deceiving ourselves, you know, right? So he says what everything that we commit is outside what the body, but when we commit sexual immorality, we are harming our very body. Then it says what, our bodies are the temple of what, the Holy Ghost. They have been bought and paid for with what, the precious blood of what, the Lamb. So we must what, live as what such. So today, right, we learned of some of the snares that the enemy has been using to trap us as believers. Number one, debt. Number two, laziness. Number three, of which spoke was what, a perverse or a lying tongue. Then number four, which is what, lust or sexual immorality, right? We are going to pray and we are going to ask the Lord to what, help us genuinely. God, we want to live for you. We want to ensure that what we are fulfilling what your purposes for what our very life. Lord, help us avoid these snares. I don't know which of the snares are currently and you are currently entangled in, right? It might be debt, it might be supreme laziness, it might be constantly lying and constantly exaggerating truths, and or in my lust or sexual immorality. We are going to pray right now. Ask the Lord to help you and ask the Lord to deliver you from any of these words, snares. Ask the Lord. If it's debt, right, you ask the Lord for wisdom so that what you can what pay off what's the debts. Wisdom so that you can what pay off the debts ASAP. If you are constantly caught in what laziness, ask the Lord to grant you what better accountability partners so that what you can be productive as well. productive than ever before. Ask the Lord to increase what your might, so that what you can go all out. If it's lying, ask the Lord to help you be in check, so that what you reduce the words you speak, so that you can control what your tongue. And if it's what all forms of what immorality, ask the Lord to help you, so that what you break out of it. Ask the Lord to help and strengthen you. So you are praying. You are praying. That's what the Lord should deliver us from any of all this snares. Wherever you are, lift up your voice and pray and ask the Lord to deliver you from every of this snare. Every of this snare, Lord, deliver me. 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 Oh Lord. We are praying. We are asking the Lord to deliver us from what every snare of the evil one.
Help me, oh God.
That I do not sell myself or fall into any unwarranted debts.
Put a call on my lips, oh God.
That I do not run myself into what the debts. That I do not follow lifestyle inflation to entrap myself in what the throes of what debts. Lord, that I do not follow lifestyle inflation. I drown out every external voice, and I do not entrap myself with what debt or entangle myself with what debt. Lord, help me. Lord, that I diligently put myself to work. Within this past 6 months, my drive to go all out has waned. I'm settling. I'm becoming a bit too comfortable. Lord, grant unto me the drive to push. This is my hay season. Take away all forms of laziness from my life, Lord Jesus. All forms of laziness I want to do away with it. All forms of laziness I want to do away with it, Lord. I want to do away with it. All forms of laziness. All forms of laziness. That I'm free from every sexual immorality. Lord, even if I fall down, grant me the grace and strength towards Lord, I deliver myself. Lord, set me
when
free.
The Lord
set me free from this snare.
Father, oh God, help
from this snare. Set me free, Lord.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us so that no one sows this consciously or unconsciously any form of
my bones check
plant.
I keep myself
of possible
Lord keep us
help us speaking about people at the end of God
leave us ask the Lord to deliver you now. Ask the Lord to deliver you. We can't be entangled with you. The accident of life. We have been set free. My body is already has been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. My body has been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I do not succumb towards sexual immorality. I live above it. I flee at every appearance of sexual immorality. I flee. My bodies are instruments of righteousness, not instruments of unrighteousness. That I am financially disciplined. I do not enter into the trappings of debt. I am financially disciplined. I live within my means. Godliness with contentment is great gain, and this is going to be my testimony. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain, and this is my testimony. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I live within my means. I do not succumb to lifestyle inflation. I keep myself in check. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that my desires are kept in check. Mateko Shaya, Ratelo Shaya, and Telepa, in Talakatoshe, Katelepa, Papa, Dushitore, in Talego Shataya, Matelekatu Shata, Ratalakataya, Talakatala, Matelepa, Yibushele, in Talatala, Papa, Yakatalato, you are delivered from death, you are delivered from listening. Lord, that the drive to put in the hard work, the drive to put in the hard work, diligence to execute my task, I tell you, Papa, put in the and in my personal life, diligence to be excellent in my spiritual life, diligence to put in the hard work in my spiritual life, that I sit down to study your scriptures, not just sit down to study your scriptures, but I make time to work to pray, my Tosha, tell you, Papa, I make time to study, and I make time to pray, my Tosha, tell you, Papa, I sit down to do the hard work. You are praying against all the snares of the evil one. You are praying over the snares. The snare of death. Of listeners, the snare of purpose and loose tongue, the snare of sexual immorality, you are praying them out of your life.
We ask the Lord to deliver you from that fear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been delivered. We work a telepathy. You have been delivered. And you have been delivered. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been delivered. My telepapa, the Lord is present here and he's setting us free. And Pelegoshaleta, are they not flames of fire? Are they not ministering spirits sent to minister unto the heirs of salvation? The angels of the Lord are ministering unto you at this moment. You have been delivered. That which you have been entangled in for long, you have been set free. You have been set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are set free from what death. You are set free from laziness. You have been given prudence. You have been given prudence. You prudently manage your resources. You have been set free from laziness. You are productive in all your endeavors. You are intelligent in all your endeavors. You have been set free in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have been set free from a perverse hand. Keep your limits at all times. You do not terrorize. You do not tell lies. In Talaga, she do not tell lies. Paleke deleba, Bahi Gushaleba, Metalaka Tusha Teleba, Letusha, you are delivered. Matalaka Tusha, your words are seasoned with salt. Your words do not tear people down. Your words are blessed to spell people out. Matelepa, you do not sow discord among people. You are delivered from all forms of lying and perverse sound. You are delivered from all forms of sexual immorality. If you are entangled in the change of pornography, masturbation, you are delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Living God is upon me, and I've been sent to set the captive free. You who is bound in what? In take trolls of what? Sexual immorality. You who is captive, you are being set free now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are strengthened, and you flee at all appearances of evil. You flee.
You flee in the name of Jesus.
Father Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for such an awesome moment. We thank you for teaching us or enlightening us to these snares of the evil one. Father Lord, we escape from the snare of death. We are taught to be content while striving forwards for better. We do not entangle ourselves with unwarranted debts. We are taught to prudently manage our resources. Father Lord, we are delivered from what all forms of laziness, both in our spiritual life and what in our physical life. Lord, we take that pain to sit down and study your scriptures and make time to pray. Lord, we take the pain towards excelling in the mundane activities that you have committed towards our care. Oh Lord, we are delivered from a lying and perverse tongue. We speak the truth at all times. We are delivered from lying. We do not sow discord among people. We do not hurt people. We build up others. Lord, we are also delivered from all forms of what sexual immorality. We are strengthened to flee at every appearance of evil. That we flee at all appearances of evil. Lord, we are strengthened. Our bodies are yours. And our bodies will be used as what instruments of what righteousness, not unrighteousness. Father Lord, we thank you that you have heard us. We thank you that you have heard us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We trust you are blessed. This is War Room, a youth fellowship dedicated to raising an awareness of the Holy Ghost outpouring in our dispensation. We are igniting young hearts with the fire of the Lord through consistent word study and prayer. Stay connected with us across all social media platforms. Until we meet again, Shalom.